Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
National Medal of Arts to honor outstanding contributions to the excellence, growth, support, and availability of the arts in the United States, and the National Humanities Medal to honor those who work as depended on the nation's understanding of humanities and broadened our citizens' engagement with history, literature, philosophy, and so many other subjects.
Yeah, the president giving out what turned out to be, it's two different medals for 2 years. So it's like four groups of medals, basically. The National Medal of the Arts for 2022 and 2023. That's the one that is the award given to artists and arts patrons by the federal government and by the President of the United States to individuals or groups who are deserving of special recognition for their outstanding contributions to the excellence, growth, support, and availability of the arts in the United States. In that category, some of these names you probably wouldn't know. Maybe you would. I mean, maybe you know the things I've never heard of. But the arts recipients for 2022, Ruth Asawa, Randy Batista, Clyde Butcher, the Country Hall of Fame and Museum, I thought was kind of an odd one, Missy Elliott, Leonardo Jimenez, Eva Longoria, Idina Menzel, Herbert Ota, Bruce Sagan, Carrie Mae Weems. In 2023, so I think it's because they just didn't do a ceremony last year is what I'm assuming took place here. Mark Bradford, Ken Burns, the documentarian, Bruce Cohen, Alex Katz, Joe Carroll Lauder, Spike Lee, Queen Latifah, Selena Quintanilla, and Steven Spielberg. Some of those I know, you know. And then the other award was for the 2022 and 2023 National Humanities Medals. And you might think, well, I thought arts and humanities were kind of, yeah, I know. but there's, you know, there's a lot of overlap. Let's just say the dividing line is not all that bright. But the short version is that these are for like writers, historians, educators, and filmmakers. And you're like, well, I thought Spike Lee and Steven Spielberg were filming. Yeah, and Ken, I know. Again, they're not like real tight categories, okay? But he was giving those away. And this, again, the National Humanities Medal honors individuals or organizations whose work has deepened the nation's understanding of the human experience, broadened citizens' engagement with history or literature, or helped preserve and expand Americans' access to cultural resources. In 2022, Wallace Annenberg, the Apple Shop Community Arts and Programming Center, Joy Harjo, Robin Harris, Juan Felipe Herrera, Robert Martin, Joe Meacham, Ruth Simmons, Pauline Yu. And then for 2023, Anthony Bourdain posthumously, LeVar Burton, Roy Chast, Nicholas Canelos, Robin Wall Kimmerer, the Mellon Foundation, Don Porter, Aaron Sorkin, you know, West Wing et al., and many other things, Darren Walker and Rosita Worry. So again, about 25 or so of these awards given out by the president, they're, you know, promoted to him by the entities, the National Endowments for the Arts, the National Endowment for the Humanities, and then theoretically, the president selects them. Whether he had anything to do with it or not is unclear.
But just let me say this. You have broken barriers. You blaze new trails. You redefined culture. You're the truth tellers, the bridge builders, the change seekers. And above all, you're the masters of your craft who have made us a better America with all you've done. And it's a better America. That's what you've done.
And yeah, he had some moments like that where he either couldn't read it or, you know, just kind of repeated the thing that he had botched the first time. I don't know. It's not that interesting to talk about the president's sort of cognitive and speech issues anymore, I guess. But, you know, they are still ongoing. And then he had some moments in the speech that I agree with this. I agree with the president's comments about the importance of the arts and humanities. I agree, of course. I mean, you know, I have two philosophies agreed. Do you think I believe in the humanities? Yeah, I think they make you a richer human being. We're better citizens if we know how to write poetry and enjoy theater, and, you know, remember, movies and television are just theater produced a little bit differently. In fact, one of the, it's kind of one of those neat ideas I picked up from somebody that I love repeating whenever I have the opportunity to do it. You know, television, though it has a lot of problems, and movies, even though they have a lot of problems, one of the great things about TV and movies is it brings the arts to the poor. I mean, who can afford to go to a theater? Historically, right, the people who could afford to go to the theater, I mean, there's some, not, this is not entirely true, but generally speaking, the people who could afford the theater were the rich people. Well, then along comes, you know, radio for the ears, movies for the eyes, and then TV for the eyes, and now everybody can afford to go to the theater. So you have exposure to arts like you never had if you were poor or middle class. I mean, you might go, you know, maybe you went to the theater once in ever, you know, if at all, right? So I'm a big believer in the value of all of these things that are being celebrated. But in the commentary about those things, President Biden managed to say things that I thought were super problematic, like...
As Joe Biden's husband, I know the power of women in this room.
He always makes this joke. He's always introducing himself as Jill Biden's husband. But okay, but wait, that's not the part.
As Jill Biden's husband, I know the power of women in this room. I know. You think I'm kidding? I'm not. All the women in my family are smarter than all the men. That's not a joke. You think I'm joking? I'm not. I know you don't think I'm joking.
Now, first of all, it sounds like... Oh, he's so cute. All the... Women in your family are smarter than all the men? Because what, all women are smarter than all men? Or like all the men in your family are not that bright? Like, I don't know what you're trying to claim as a fact. But that was just, and he emphasized, I'm not joking, I'm not kidding, right? So we should take him at his word. Why did he run for president? It should have been his wife. You know, if she's smarter, if all the women are smarter, okay, follow the reasoning here. But it gets worse. That was the preamble, okay? This was the real payoff.
I know the power of women in this room to get things done and uplift the next generation of pioneers, proving a woman can do anything a man can do and then some. And that includes being president of the United States of America. Just saying.
So women are better than men across the board? As in... All women can do anything that all men can do, and all a bunch of things that men can't do? What a female chauvinist thing to say. What a sexist thing to say. I mean, it's very representative of American culture these days that, you know, women are virtuous and men are louts or problematic or, you know, God, if only we didn't need them, you know? But think about this claim is amazing.
Proving a woman can do anything a man can do and then some.
And if you don't believe that's sexist, rude, arrogant, and wrong, what if you reversed it? Proving that men can do anything women can do and then some. Oh, you'd get canceled on Twitter so fast. This is ridiculous. There are all kinds of things that men are better at than women. And there are all kinds of things that women are better at than men. And it's just false that women can do everything men can do and then some. Just like it's false to say that men can do anything women can do and then some. It's a stupid, sexist, false, culturally ignorant thing to say. But it is the belief of the modern American cultural elite. But what message do you think boys hear when they hear something like that? What message do you think men hear when they hear something like that? Oh, cry me crocodile tears for the poor abused men. Yeah, just like in a culture that teaches that women are inferior, a culture that teaches that men are inferior is not going to do well over the long run. Because, you know, people learn the lessons they're taught. And what happens when you have a culture that teaches men that they suck, that they're dangerous, that they're violent, that they're inferior, that they can't do many of the things that women can do? And that women can do everything, even better than men. Don't question it. I used to do a just because this is my personality. This used to come up in my ethics classes when we talk about sex and gender and stuff. And it was always a sucker punch because I would always say, okay, so men and women, you know, there's one belief that men and women are exactly the same. Okay, there's another belief that men and women are different. And you know, typically my students weren't you know, dumb enough to actually say out loud that they believe the nonsense that men and women are exactly the same. So, you know, men and women, I'm like, okay, are there any things that, you know, women are better at than men? And we put a list up on the board, you know, emotional reasoning, relationships, you know, reading people, having comprehension of social situations, nurturing care, you know, easy examples, right? Easy examples you don't even have to think about. Well, I know some men who are, yeah, but in general, the whole point is in general, women are better at this stuff. So we'd put this list of, you know, 8 or 10 things up on the board. And then I'd say, okay, now tell me the things men are better at than women. And you could just see their poor little brains like, we're not supposed to say that. Oh, it's so uncomfortable. I'm like, okay. So what message do you think is being communicated in a culture where it's easy to say that women are superior in many things, but you're not even allowed to ask the question of whether men are better at anything? You know, point taken, right? You know, at least it was a slight crack in what at that time was, you know, maybe thought of as political correctness. These days you'd call it being woke or gender studies or intersectionality or whatever, right? You know, okay. So anyway, back to the commentary by the president, post-sexism. He says things that, again, I think are absolutely right on target.
It's clear Jill and I, Kamala and Doug, our entire administration, believe in the power of the arts and humanities. It matters. It matters now more than ever. This is a very consequential time for the arts and humanities in America.
Agreed. More important than ever in many ways, okay? Especially as you become more scientific, more believers in practical results. We live in an age where arts, humanity, poetry, even though there's more music than ever, there's less music than ever. Do you understand what I mean? Even though there are more books than ever, there are fewer good, great books than ever. I agree. And, you know, movie and across the board, I agree with him. He's right about this. And it's important. But then part two, you know, praise the president and talk about what he says. It's crazy. Here goes. Honestly, this one took me a second to catch, okay? But I want to explain. See if you can catch what's wrong here.
Extreme forces are banning books, trying to erase history, spreading misinformation. But because of you, I mean this, because of you, we keep our books open. You make history. We combat lies with truth.
On the surface? Yeah, man, yeah. Okay. But consider things that his administration has done when it comes to censorship, coercion, control of information, and the propagation of misinformation on COVID and COVID-related topics and lockdowns, on Russia collusion, on the Hunter Biden laptop, on meddling with social media platforms. See, the Democrats style themselves as great forces of truth and liberation and tolerance and openness. And conservatives get plastered as being the misinformation peddlers and the liars and the history deniers. And sometimes we deserve those labels. We do. Sometimes we do deserve them. But though some of our folks are interested in restricting highly sexualized books for children, weirdly, that's the place where you want to camp and say that we're, you know, anti. But you've actually gone out of your way to pressure social media companies to take people off of their platforms because they question your narratives about highly controversial political subjects. And these are adults. So who's the source of misinformation? And who is the force of censorship? And who's out there maybe not banning books, although books do get deprioritized according to them being unacceptable ideologically, but who's banning social media? Who's controlling and coercing social media? And who's continuously benefited from the propaganda arm of modern media to portray certain members of the opposite party as wicked, horrible, terrible, no good nicks? And their leader, President Trump, and also who's actually gone after some of those people with, that guy in particular, with litigation and prosecution. I mean, it's a fascinating thing to celebrate. We are the party of truth and liberation and freedom and against misinformation and censorship. Oh, wait. So you have to pay attention sometimes, because people who believe their own lies are the best liars, because they don't even realize that what they're saying is completely contradictory to their own practice and behavior. But I will give him this. The general spirit of the awards and the general principle of celebrating the arts and humanities, I totally agree.
This administration supports the arts and humanities as essential pieces of American might and dynamism.
And they are. But I will also say this. Our producers of arts and humanities have been making a horrid mistake for the last 50 years or so. And that horrid mistake is thinking that criticism and the representation of minority views and producing, you know, bold, brave, alternative narratives about law and order, about police, about democracy, about men, about the family, about religion, about business, about all of the institutions that make a culture survive and propagate itself and do well. They have taken it as their mission in life to tear these things down, and then we export those messages to foreign countries. You know, exporting of movies is one of the great, and music is one of the great things we do. No culture can long survive that practice. Instead of exporting, as we used to export, the idea that democracy is strong and that individualism, but also being part of a group, is strong, and that obeying the law and that police are strong, and that, you know, we used to have a very different message pre-Hays Code in this country. And that was a healthy message for a global superpower. The one we're propagating right now, not so healthy. Am I saying government should fix it? No, I'm saying that the people who make the arts should work to fix this, because they're doing grave damage to this country and the entire world by the exporting of these same dangerous ideas. 527 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay.
So this new dose is, well, nope, that's not it. The price is nowhere to be found.
Mr. Green? Hi, it's all good. We've got this.
This is not just help from a Walgreens pharmacist.
Oh, new prescriptions. Cool. Let me check to see if these are the lowest cost options covered by your Medicare plan.
Oh, that's great. Thank you.
This is someone supporting you every step of the way. Chat with a pharmacist today to find help saving. This is the human kind of help. Walgreens.
Ugh, I've been feeling so sluggish and just kind of blah.
Been there. That's why I take Align yogurt-coated probiotic fruit bites.
But I suppose they taste blah?
Actually, they taste delicious. It's an apple blueberry-flavored center covered in a yogurt coating and is infused with probiotics to help support a healthy gut. They come 5 in a pouch. I just toss one in my bag and go.
Toss one in my bag?
Get your own.
New Align yogurt-coated probiotic fruit bites from the makers of the number one doctor-recommended probiotic brand. Find them in the digestive care aisle.
As a business owner, you have a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. An IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help, from running your payrolls, submitting state and federal taxes, helping with COVID employee retention credits, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Avalon HR, employing made easy.
When you listen to News Radio 92.3 on Sundays, you get Christian Outlook at 7, Ask the Preacher at 8, Town Hall Review, Fox News Sundays, The Weekend, Tech It Out, and Gun Talk at 8.
You know, there's like a buttload of gangs at this school. This one gang kept wanting me to join because I'm pretty good with the bow staff.
Staff. 529 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Israel says it's killed the man believed to have been the next in line to lead the Lebanese militant group Hezbollah. Hashim Safadine was apparently killed in an airstrike. This was about 3 weeks ago near Beirut. He was a top leader in the group and expected to take over for Hassan Nasrallah, who was killed in another airstrike last month. Former Abercrombie & Fitch CEO Mike Jeffries is now out of custody and wearing an ankle monitor after posting $10 million bond following an arrest yesterday on sex trafficking and interstate prostitution charges. prostitution charges. The 80-year-old associate James Jacobson is currently out on $500,000 bond, and Jeffrey's romantic partner Matthew Smith is still detained.
So they arranged this massive international scheme to sex traffic men for their personal pleasure. The guy who was in charge of Abercrombie, this is so weird.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. Early in-person voting starts in West Virginia today. Nearly 19 million ballots were reported to be in already nationwide. Former President Trump on the Brian Kilmeade Show on Fox News Radio.
I'm very mixed. You know, I have the old standard of the Tuesday vote and all. A lot of people like to vote, and I'm really mixed. You know, the main thing to me is you got to vote.
Vice President Kamala Harris is asked, what do you do if Trump prematurely declares victory on election night?
We will deal with election night and the days after as they come, and we have the resources and the expertise and the focus on that as well.
Harris on NBC News Now. Israel confirms more of Hezbollah's top people are dead.
Hashem Safieddine was expected to be its new leader following the killing by Israel of Hassan Nasrallah. But Safieddine is dead too, say the Israelis, among 26 Hezbollah officials taken out by an airstrike.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 531 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 64 degrees. It is clear skies here in Pensacola this morning. Well, it's all but certain that the Tampa Bay Rays won't be playing their home games at Tropicana Field next season. Major League Baseball Commissioner Rob Manfred says he does want the team to remain in the area. He was on the Varsity Podcast with John Orend. Manfred said he'll find a place for them to play.
We're hopeful that we can figure out something in Tampa for them, and that the repairs can be done in a way that allows them to resume playing. The one thing I can tell you for sure, they're playing next year. We're going to find them some place to do it.
And he said there are several spring training and minor league stadiums in the area that could serve as a temporary home for the Rays until repairs are able to be made. Well, there's an ongoing dispute among the Escambia County Board of Commissioners and outspoken county resident Larry Downs Jr. Downs owns a plumbing company. He's been at odds with Commissioner Stephen Berry over whether he can use a word that he says is important to his livelihood. At county board meetings, he tried to present his poem last week.
Once upon a time, there was a county commissioner who told me that I couldn't say sh**.
All right, Larry, you got to be escorted out. Larry, you after can't curse.
After I let it slip, he scolded me like a little kid.
Wes.
Then the next time,
Wes,
he told me.
Larry, you're not going to curse at the podium. You don't have the right to curse.
He told me,
Larry, your time's
that
up.
I couldn't spell.
Your time is up.
S-H.
Your time is up, Larry.
And Stephen Berry did have Downs escorted from the podium and back to his seat by a deputy. Downs claims it's a First Amendment issue and said he should be allowed to use the word at meetings if he wants. Of course, this sparked heavy debate yesterday right here on Pensacola's Morning News, with about a 50-50 split of listeners supporting Downs' First Amendment argument. Well, a fisherman trying his luck near Graffiti Bridge yesterday had a bad day. He forgot to put his car in park. It reportedly rolled into the water Tuesday afternoon. PPD says that happened about 1:30 yesterday. Pictures show the car completely covered in water all the way up to the roof. The good news, though, nobody was hurt. Channel 3 said a tow truck was at the scene attempting to pull the car from the water later that afternoon. The search for a missing Escambia County man is over. Deputies say a body found last week has been identified as Bubba Flowers Jr. He'd been missing since late September, was last seen on Perkins Street. The location he was found was not disclosed. Investigators say foul play is not suspected in this case. Well, the day after Donald Trump campaigned in Doral, First Gentleman Doug Emhoff has some appearances scheduled today in South Florida. Democratic National Committee Chair Jamie Harrison says, in light of comments made about Haitian migrants eating people's pets, they're announcing an ad campaign to reach Haitian voters.
Well, it's important for the Haitian American community to understand that we see them, that we hear them, that we value them, and that we, the Democratic Party, don't believe that they're eating cats and dogs.
And early voting in Florida ends November 2nd, but in Broward and Miami-Dade, people are getting an extra day and can cast their vote at the county elections offices November 4th. It is 5:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather.
Starting out your Wednesday morning with temperatures in the lower 60s. Clear conditions that sticks with us as we head into the rest of our day. Expect temperatures to warm right back up into the middle and lower 80s this afternoon with lots of sunshine and dry weather sticking around. I'm meteorologist Marian Caldwell with your WEAR First Warning Weather Update.
Thank you very much, Marian. 64 right now in Pensacola and Gulf Breeze, 61 in Milton. Our next news at 6, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Dom Savino with Your Money Now. The IRS has announced new federal income tax brackets and standard deductions for 2025, raising all of them to account for inflation. The standard deduction will tick higher to $15,000 for single filers and $30,000 for married couples filing jointly. Tupperware has reached a tentative agreement to sell its business just weeks after the kitchen product company filed for bankruptcy. The buyers of Tupperware's name and products are a small group of key lenders. The company called it a new day for the iconic brand. Peloton and Costco have struck a deal that would sell the popular fitness equipment online and in 300 Costco warehouses. Costco will offer Bike Plus for a price tag of $2,000. Partnership comes as Peloton looks for new ways to reach young customers. On Wall Street, futures are lower as stocks feel further pressure from rising Treasury yields. Yesterday, the S&P 500 posted its first back-to-back decline since September. That's Your Money Now.
When you were 18, you spent your spring break in Cancun. The party was legendary, and you speak of it often, even though you don't remember half of it. The geeky kid who sat across from you in math class stayed home, practicing calculus. You made fun of her. A lot. That is, until last year, when you owed the IRS a lot of money and called the certified public accountants at Benakis & Associates. And she answered the phone. Who's laughing now? The number crunchers at Benakis & Associates live and breathe accounting and tax preparation. It's practically in their DNA. When you need to know what the heck a Form 656-PPV is, call Benakis & Associates. When you need a QuickBooks Pro advisor, call Benakis & Associates. When you need someone who practices long division, for fun, call Benakis & Associates, now in the historic district on 120 South Alkenes and online at flacpas.com. Benakis & Associates, leave the numbers to the experts.
How many times has a paid-by-the-hour repairman come to your home to do repair and seems to be working awfully slow? Ah! After all, the longer they work, the more you pay. And when they're finally done, you get the bill. It's dangerous to give a repairman a blank check because your bill could be much larger than expected. That's why Barberry Plumbing uses a flat rate pricing system. You'll know exactly to the penny what you'll pay before the work begins. No questions, no surprises, no high bills. You get Barberry Plumbing's team of radio dispatched uniformed professional service technicians. They can handle any plumbing repair or replacement job you need, including insulation and gas piping to your whole house generator. They are fully insured for both residential and commercial work. Call Barberry Plumbing at 477-8782 or look for Barberry Plumbing in the business white pages. Barberry Plumbing license number is RF11067749.
Pensacola Opera presents the world premiere of Carmen, the Traveler, a reimagined telling of one of opera's most famous stories featuring actor musicians performing while accompanying themselves with a new acoustic folk sound. Sponsored by and part of the 2024 Fufu Festival, Carmen the Traveler is on November 7th at Seville Quarter. Tickets including pre-show wine, food, and entertainment are $75 and available online at PensacolaOpera.com.
Next time on Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin.
Afternoons are better on News Radio 92.3. Top trending stories, financial news, sports, flight information, interviews, traffic, and the most accurate five-day forecast. This is Chris Bryant along with Austin Price. It's Pensacola Right Now. Happens just after 4 on News Radio 92.3.
Pensacola Right Now with Chris and Austin. Weekdays 4 till 7 on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Could you any compromise and confession?
Good morning, 540 here on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. And yesterday we talked quite a bit about this incident from last Thursday at the Escambia County Commission Public Forum right before the regular meeting, where Larry Downs Jr. local agitator Gadfly swore by, you know, saying the S word and then spelling the S word, you know, in a provocation that has been kind of coming between him and Stephen Berry, the commission chairman, District 5 representative, running for re-election against, you know, Josh Robertson, that, you know, he's been trying to get Larry to calm down and not say these words, and this has been this back and forth. And finally, you know, basically Larry showed up and said them, and then Stephen kind of whined to Wes Moreno, the county administrator, hey, can you not get the deputy to take care of this? And Larry, you're not going to, you know, speak in here like that. And as I've said, I think that the First Amendment is actually on Larry's side, although I don't like the presence of profanity. I think he's got a First Amendment case to be made. In any case, the deputy was, I felt bad for the deputy because he was kind of in the middle of all this. And, you know, rightly so, he just kind of walked up and did as little as needed to be done. And then Larry walked away politely, so it was no big deal. Anyway, that was the setup. I asked Chip Simmons about this yesterday, and we talked to him. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you. Good morning.
Yeah. Is your deputy is not the arbiter of the First Amendment. Your deputy is there to do what the county administrator or the chairman tells him to do in the meeting, right? Within reason.
That is correct. That is correct. The chairman of the Board of County Commissioners, whoever's running the meeting, has control of that meeting. And they typically can determine who stays and who goes based upon whatever behavior they deem appropriate or not. It's very difficult for a law enforcement officer to get up there and say, no, Mr. Chairman of the Board, I don't think that that's appropriate. And this has been going on for decades. I remember years ago, I was a police chief, and Nathan Monk was up at the podium.
Oh,
and they wanted him removed.
Yeah.
So I happened to be there. I walked up to him. We both stood there for a while until the timer went down, because I didn't really feel like it was the appropriate thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
But technically that was a city council president at the time, that was trying to get that done. So cooler heads prevailed, and we mm-hmm. both walked off, and it worked out fine. And I do appreciate Mr. Downs going ahead and walking away. He made his point from, mm-hmm. from what I understand. But that's very difficult for our deputies to have to deal with, because we got to keep our personal stance or our personal opinions out of it. And it's not whether we think that the person should be removed. It's whether the chairman or whoever's running the board or the meeting at that time determines it's appropriate or not.
And hypothetically, if a court eventually found that it had been a violation of Larry Downs' rights to have him escorted away, and your deputy was acting at the behest of the chairman, your deputy's job is hired to do what the chairman says, right? It's not his job to cut the fine nuance of what the Supreme Court's going to decide is protected speech or not.
That's correct. And again, imagine, if that's the case, then all of our deputies would be the one that's deciding who stays and who goes.
It's not like an out on the street situation where they actually are tasked with deciding if somebody is violating a law or is protected or not. But in that kind of a situation, it's different because they're in a controlled space, essentially.
Yes. Yes, that's
okay.
Correct.
All right. I just wanted, I knew people would have questions about this, especially since it was one of your deputies that kind of unfairly to him got dragged into this.
Yeah. And if it is civil, then obviously we're going to get sued because we get sued for everything.
For all everything that happens.
Exactly. No matter what happens.
We have a couple of really terrible stories, but I want to wait on that for just a second, because we have good things going on. The fair is going on, and you guys are involved in security again this year, right? You got all kinds of stuff that you're using at the fair this year, all kinds of new technology, right?
Well, yeah, we have really the new technology is the cameras, the systems that we have. We purchased five what we call camera platforms. They're basically pull behind trailers with a telescoping camera system on it that we can monitor through our real time crime center. It also records what it sees. So we deployed all five of them, and we have found two additional ones from Florida Department of Law Enforcement that we have out there. So we have seven cameras, and we have drones out there this year. And then we have between 30 and 50, depending on a day and time, the deputies that are actually there. We have our command bus there. We do this for
And I assume you have other law enforcement agencies too, both in and out of uniform. typically help?
Actually, we're going it alone.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. That's new. All right. I mean, right? That's in the past. Hasn't it been more collaborative?
I think there was about 4 or 5 years ago, the sheriff's office decided, before I became sheriff, the sheriff's office decided they wouldn't work security at the fair.
Oh, that's okay. And that was when there was, yeah, okay.
Were there.
That's right.
But since we've taken it over, we're large enough to have the resources to be able to handle the fair.
Okay.
And we've been doing it since when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So it's always kind of a tradition to me that the sheriff's office runs security at the fair. And
fair's been,
and we've been doing it.
Trouble-free, minor incidents, normal run-of-the-mill stuff.
I haven't heard of anything.
That's great.
I mean, you know, we also have some lighting. We have some portable lighting because we have, during our security assessment over the last couple of months, really, determined there might be some darker areas.
Okay.
So we put some lighting there, including the intersection out there in front. So right now, again, we're going to continue to be out there in a robust manner, but I haven't heard anything.
Oh, that's great. This story with Tara Alexa Sykes, I believe is her name. This is awful. I mean, this is the kind of thing, like even you had said, you know, when do you see this kind of stuff? Do you tell me what happened? Because I guess she was communicating with this 10-year-old on the Roblox gaming platform or something. And anyway,
that's the basics of it. There was this Tara Sykes was communicating through that social media platform, mm-hmm. To a 10-year-old. And I can simply tell you that the conversation
her relationship. I was kind of confused about that. I thought I had heard that it was the child's mother. Then I hear that it's a relation. It's not just a plain stranger. So what's, can you?
Well, I can say that I can't comment about the identity of a victim of child abuse.
Oh,
and so I have to be
okay.
Very careful with what I say.
Got it.
And obviously you don't want to put names out there of victims of child abuse. So I can simply say it's a 10-year-old, and I can say that it's not a random person that she had befriended on this social media platform.
Okay.
There was a relationship.
So this is
beforehand.
Not like out-of-state predator contacts you randomly. Okay, got it. Okay.
This was the communication was set up and designed so that these two can communicate.
Okay.
And I can tell you that much.
Gosh.
But she instructed this 10-year-old to do just terrible things to a two-month-old. Infant, to include like dropping the child on a hard floor, potentially drowning, potentially burning the child. Unfortunately, the 10-year-old did fall through on one thing and intentionally dropped the child on the floor. The child had suffered, the infant had suffered some severe head injuries, and as I understand, is will survive. But the child did suffer some injuries, some head injuries. And we were contacted by the Gulf Coast Kids House on the 17th, and that's how it started for us. To go further with this Sykes, what she was trying to instruct the 10-year-old to do, also to cut the throat and to burn the adults that she is temporarily staying with. So it becomes very difficult for for us to read this and to think that, hey, someone can actually do this, can think it, let alone carry out such a thought and such a serious crime.
So I know you have to be very careful what you can say, but was the 10-year-old the sibling of the 2-year-old?
I will tell you that the 10-year-old did have a relationship with the 2-month-old.
Oh, or 2-month-old, sorry. Because
yes.
I mean, the relationship between the woman and the child, I'm also thinking about the infant.
Right.
Okay. Oh my God!
Yeah, and we put it out on our. We started getting phone calls, obviously, about it.
Yeah.
A lot of people do know circumstances, more circumstances than I'm at liberty to talk about.
Okay.
And we understood that it would be complicated, but I hope people understand that we want to protect the identity of a victim.
Yeah.
And even though it's very difficult in cases like this, in the past, if you recall, we had a murder suicide of a woman took the life of her 10-year-old. I think it was 10-year-old mm-hmm. or 11-year-old daughter. And then she killed herself. Mm-hmm. In those situations,
because
you can't
deceased,
help but,
right.
but to put that information out. There's a murder charge there. But this is just about as disturbing as it gets. Every time I read it, I just still can't believe someone could be evil enough to have these thoughts and then to ask and encourage someone to carry them out is just beyond belief.
I am, you tell me, but I'm assuming that the children are no longer available to her. Right at the moment?
Well, she's in jail. No one should be available
right.
to her. but that is correct. Again,
and the charges,
attempted murder while engaged in aggravated child abuse.
And I'm also assuming no charges against the 10-year-old.
No, I will tell you that the investigation is continuing.
Okay.
But you know, because there's a lot here to unwind.
Sure.
But at this point, there are no charges on the 10-year-old. At this point.
Oh.
And again, there will be more circumstances coming out as it becomes more public, but I can't be the one to put this information out.
I got you.
Or I won't be the one to put that information out.
Lighter crimes, I guess. People in Cantonment stole a bunch of AT&T cable and knocked out service for 900 people. Is that right?
Yeah, we had, I think there were some pictures out there.
Is it copper?
Media.
Is that what they were after? Or like high quality,
I'm assuming it's
cabling
copper.
Of some
it's
kind?
It's got to be. And they cut, a couple hundred, a couple thousand feet of it or whatever it was. And it was obviously very valuable. But what it did is, like you said, knocked out the power of the AT&T.
Yeah, I think it was like phone lines, basically. So yeah. Twisted pair, I'm thinking, but okay.
Yeah, these people like that, they probably have other issues as well.
We also had a shooting Sunday afternoon where there was a fight and the guy got shot.
Yeah, so boyfriend and ex-boyfriend are at a location. I think it's a house, and they decide, hey, let's take it outside, as historically people have done. And once they're outside, the one guy just pulls out a gun and shoots the other guy in the head. And so we're charged him with, initially it was an aggravated battery. When we looked at it, we upped charges to attempted murder, obviously, because he pulled out a gun and shot a guy in the head. I'm assuming the other guy thought they were going to fight, but that's not what occurred. So you can't, that ain't cool.
And by the way, the way you said it, I just want to clarify, I don't know that it makes a difference, but boyfriend of girl and ex-boyfriend of girl go outside to fight.
Correct.
Okay, not boyfriend and boyfriend of each other or something.
No,
that's not what you meant.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, boyfriend and an ex-boyfriend of a particular.
On the more of the good news-ish note, you guys have made an arrest in the Chimes Way shooting, right?
Yeah, if you recall, we had a situation over there off W Street. A car was in a roadway near it, and then someone pulled up alongside them and fired a couple rounds and ended up killing one person and seriously injuring another person. Our investigators did a jam-up job reviewing video footage and going backtracking, and we're using our real-time crime center, using some of the camera systems that we have in place, as we've been talking about over the last year or so. Ended up charging 26-year-old, we charged Walter Baker with a crime that left the 26-year-old dead. So Walter Baker's been charged with murder and the death of the one man, attempted murder and the serious injury of the other individual. Tampering with evidence and a weapon possession by a convicted felon. So he's in jail. At least he was without bond, and I'm assuming he still has little chance of bond.
And that last thing I wanted to ask you about is just because we're in the middle of voting already, but Amendment 3, you're a law enforcement officer, the decriminalization or legalization of personal consumption amounts of marijuana for non-medical use, up to, 3 ounces, I think, personal possession, which is a lot, for a person to just be carrying around. Thoughts? I mean, I know the law is the law and you'll enforce it whatever the people decide, but do you have a thought one way or the other about whether you want to see this happen?
Right. Well, it's as simple as that. I mean, this is an amendment to the Constitution, so whatever happens, we will enforce it. I've been pretty clear over the last couple of years that low-level marijuana is not on the highest of our priority list. Fentanyl and methamphetamine, those are the high ones. But distribution of marijuana we've seen locally can be the result of some can result in some serious physical crimes, some shootings and stuff. I will tell you that while it's not high on our priority list, I can't bring myself to support it.
Yeah,
I've talked to law enforcement officers in Colorado, in California. I've talked to all of them, and some of the things that they're seeing, some of the degradation of the society, basically what they call it. I just can't be the one that says, "Hell yeah, let's vote for this." And I'm quite surprised, actually, that some sheriffs throughout the state are doing that. But that's their prerogative. I'm not the guy that comes out and says I think this is a good thing, because I don't think it's going to be ultimately a good thing. Again, that being the case, whatever is passed, we'll obviously enforce it or not enforce it.
Well, a lot of the advocates act like they're doing you a favor, because they're going to free up resources from having to arrest guys carrying around a couple of joints or whatever, and that's going to make your life easier. Do you feel like they're doing you a favor?
No. Again, because we are not arresting people for misdemeanor possession of marijuana, and they're not the ones that are clogging up the prison system. I can't think of anything that it would free us up again, because we're going to continue to make whatever traffic stops for speeding or whatever traffic violation. Our canines do no longer alert on marijuana.
Because
we don't
of the
train
medical,
them
right?
anymore.
For years now, yeah.
Hemp and medical. So mm-hmm. we don't even do that. So it's not like it's going to, oh my gosh, we're free to do this other thing or that thing. And then there's another thought that, there's no longer this fentanyl laced marijuana. You can be sure that this is the just marijuana.
Certified safe.
That's not really the way it goes. People that are overdosing on fentanyl, a lot of times they may not know how much fentanyl's in it, but they know there's some fentanyl in it, or they know there's some more serious drug in that marijuana.
Well, Sheriff, thank you so much for the time. Always thank you for educating us on the things that are going on in our community and for the perspective on the amendment. I appreciate it, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
Absolutely. 5:55 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. If you're looking for that next vehicle, I recommend Frontier Motors. It's got a great selection of good quality used vehicles, 300 or so on the lot, trucks, vans, SUVs, sedans, compacts, a couple of years old, typically 2, 1, maybe 3 or 4 years old, with 10 to 60 or so thousand miles. They warranty them to 100,000 miles. So you always know that you can trust the cars to run well. And it's kind of like the typical used car dealership experience of go in there and hope you get out with your skin with a car that actually runs. You don't have to worry about that. They stand behind their product. They're going to be here a long time. They've been here for more than 25 years. Like I said, they warranty the product. They even go out of their way to follow up with you afterwards to make sure that everything is good, because they want you to come once, twice, 3, 4, 5 times and tell your friends and, have the bumper sticker or the license plate frame on your car and promote them to everybody else, because they want that community reputation that they've earned so hard after a quarter century of business. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi.
This is Coke Zero Sugar. Could I be the best Coke ever? Listen closely. Hear those bubbles? That mouth-watering waterfall? Delicious. Ice cold. And zero sugar. Is Coke Zero Sugar the best Coke ever? Try and decide.
Try Coke Zero Sugar today and decide for yourself if it's the best Coke ever. Find Coke Zero Sugar at any local retailer.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Only a few days remain for the biggest and best fair, the Pensacola Interstate Fair. Free exhibits, fun, food, games, and more. Over 50 rides to thrill you. Free shows by Neil McCoy, Chris Jansen, Easton Corbin, Tristan Harper, Bluff It, a Jimmy Buffett tribute, and White Tie Rock Ensemble. Plus the livestock auction, $20 wristband day, Midnight Madness, Mana Food Pantry's Can Drive Day, and Last Blast Family Day. Get tickets and details at PensacolaFair.com.
Hi, I'm Ron Helms, and I'm running to be your next county commissioner in District 4. I'm a long-term business owner, military veteran, and ordained clergy. As a fiscal conservative and Second Amendment supporter, I have a passion for public service with strong community engagement. As your next county commissioner, I will have a strong impact on crime and gun violence, affordable housing, and combating high insurance rates. I'm asking for your support and your vote on November 5th.
Paid for by Ron Helms, Democrat County Commission, District 4.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknights 7 to 10, before WEAR-TV News, on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Daddy, I do not want a boat like this.
This boat makes me feel weird, like those pills my friend gave me. 5:59 here on News Radio 92.3. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Just like that. Over to... Okay. The Boeing Machinist Union will be voting on a negotiated proposal today. That after the aerospace giant reached a tentative deal with the striking workers over the past weekend. If approved, it'll end a weeks-long strike that saw about 30,000 workers walking off the job.
Very good, David. Thanks so much.
Listen on air at 92.